Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company. 105.9
FM, WMAL. It is 8:07 here on O'Connor and Company this Monday morning, Martin Luther King Day in the nation's capital and across this nation. And coming up at 8:35, we'll speak with Dr. Elveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King, talk about her father's legacy and some people who are trying to hijack it today. That's coming up. Julie Gunlock's here. Julie, thanks for being here as always.
I'm glad to be here.
Listen to this. This was almost a year ago. It was the final week of January 2021, last year, when an angry parent had had enough with the Loudoun County School Board, and it sounded like this.
And figure it out! It's not a high bar! Raise the freaking bar!
Raise the bar and figure it out. Brandon Michon just wanted his kids to get back to school. He's like, it's been a year now. We've all figured out how to deal with COVID. Other states are doing this. Figure it out. And then it became a bit of a battle cry for parents all across this region. Listen.
And figure it out. It's not a high bar. Raise the freaking bar.
Stop failing our kids and figure it out.
And do your job. Figure it out.
Please. Figure this out and get this kids back in school because this is not working.
Decide tonight. Decide right now to step out of fear, follow our state and national leadership, and open the schools 5 days a week. Figure it out.
And that should be the mantra, I think, for this new governor, Governor Youngkin, because it occurred to me as I saw this image of that man, Brandon Michon, standing in a group photo with now Governor Glenn Youngkin, as he signed an executive order ensuring 5 day a week in classroom instruction for all students in Virginia. And I thought, wow, that was 1 year. 1 year in Brandon Michon's life, and now he's standing there with the new governor as he signs this. He joins us now. And Brandon, you must have been thinking about that. What a year it was.
Yeah, it was. Thanks, Larry and Julie, for having me on again.
Well, I mean, talk a little bit about the feeling there as you saw the governor sort of taking action and sort of finally fulfilling for all Virginians what you voiced that day on behalf of so many of us.
Yeah, this was a culmination of a long year. I mean, when my video went viral, you know, Glenn was one of the first people to call me, and that was even before he announced his candidacy. And, you know, shortly after, I remember he and I shot a video. It was cold outside about opening schools, and we did it on an iPhone, and we were both, you know, just trying to figure it out. And then, you know, fast forward a year and you're at his inauguration, and then you're in the room with as he signs executive orders, and it was just an amazing experience. But what I think was great about it and what voters said in November was, I have a day one plan and I'm committed to following through on that. And he did that on day one for parents and voters.
Yeah.
You know, I, Brenham, I am a mother of three boys, two of which are teenagers. And I want to say your figure it out really works on them as well. So I use it has many, many applications. So I appreciate it.
But you hear yourself say it more than you think now, right?
Yeah. Sadly, though, it's not working in my town of Alexandria, Virginia. It's not working in Arlington and areas, and obviously Fairfax County. What advice would you give parents? In Alexandria, the superintendent here just sort of doubled down, actually said that he's going to be passing out N95 masks and requesting kids double masks. So he's actually making the mask requirements stricter. And that is definitely thumbing a nose, not only at the governor, but telling parents they don't matter. They don't matter, which has been his overarching message all along. What advice would you give to parents who are frustrated in my town?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't hear this part of my clip, but I said, look, you're hiding behind our parent or behind our children because mm-hmm. you're scared. And I think that is still the case, right? And, you know, parents need to continue to show up and advocate for the needs of the children. And I encourage people to continue to stay involved and speak up, because I truly believe when you come together as neighbors and as a community, meaningful change is possible. And right now, it's kind of funny because when he signed this mandate that said, look, we're giving parents the ability to decide if you want to wear a mask. It's not saying no mask. It's not saying all mask.
Yep.
It's just give parents the ability. You saw school boards throughout the Commonwealth. It was almost instantaneous, like instantaneous tweet. It was like they were ready. They were ready to say, I'm not even willing to listen. I'm not even willing to figure it out. I'm just saying this is my decision. It's my way or the highway. And Governor Youngkin saying, wait a second, we're going to take away the bureaucracy. We're going to take away your executive only power and say the parents get to choose what's best for their family.
Brandon Michon, you were able to witness Governor Youngkin as he was signing in these executive orders. I wonder if you were able to get a measure of him in terms of some level of confidence here. He's got to know that even when you've got highly politicized entities like the Arlington School Board and the Fairfax School Board and Alexandria City, these are polarized political entities who are resisting mm-hmm. him for political purposes. But do you believe he has the confidence knowing that parents, voters, are on his side, that he's actually representing us?
I mean, I've got to know him over the last year. He has an incredible amount of moxie, right? And and you know, but when you think about it, the message is simple. The message is we are going to cut regulation in Virginia and make it a place you want to work. We are going to make it a safe environment. We're going to get it. We want to stop human trafficking. We want to stop hate, you know, hate against religions. We want to make our schools, make our education system better. I mean, the message is simple. The message is we want the best environment. We want the best place for, you know, the best Commonwealth that we can have. And I think that resonates. And I think when you pull out all the politics, people deep down know that we just want to live, work, and play and do that in an environment that is safe and healthy and a good environment for our families. And I think he resonated in November, and I think that message will continue.
I think one of the overarching messages, especially looking at those EOs, is that government is going to step aside a little and let people live and let people make their own decisions. I'm just, you know, really thrilled with some of the staff he's put in place. Did you have a chance to meet any of his sort of senior level staffers? Because, I mean, you just look at some of them, like Elizabeth Schultz, heading up the education agenda. They're very impressive. Did you speak with any of them?
Yeah, I was standing next to the new Secretary of Education and got to speak, you know, briefly. Obviously, it was interesting yesterday because you had an old administration leaving and a new administration coming in, and you're talking to people and they're like, look, I wish I had my business card yet, but we don't. And so you had, you know, it was definitely a in transition moment, and there's a lot of people just trying to, you know, get their feet wet and get the process going. But, you know, the great thing is, I believe Glenn or Governor Youngkin, he views this as he's a businessman, and he's viewing it as a business, and let's run it the way a business should be, efficiently. Let's, you know, cut costs. Let's make everyone, you know, want to be invested in this. And he's not trying to make it bloated and red and with a lot of red tape. And, you know, you bring in the right people to the right positions and you're able to succeed. And that's what good leaders do, is bring in others around you to, you know, to create,
figure it out.
And, and I also, you know, to raise the bar. And that's really what we need, because as parents and as taxpayers, we need to continue to raise the bar, not just at the local and state level, but also at the federal level. And, 2022 is going to be a really big year.
It is. And this conversation continues. And in fact, we're going to continue our conversation with Brandon Michon, because it's time to re-energize all of the parents in Northern Virginia, because this is 2022 is huge. And this is where the conversation now takes hold, because you've got somebody who has your back in Richmond, in the governor's office. And that's where things can really change and we really can raise the bar. So, Brandon, stay there. We've got more to discuss with you. And hopefully this will be inspirational for many other parents out there who are tired, they're fed up, and it's time to raise the bar in our local school systems here. It's 8:15.
Figure it out! Or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a lot of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out.
Brandon Michon, that was January 29th, I think it was, 2021. And he joins that. It's so funny going back, and I actually pulled up the video, Brandon, because, you know, you got the stocking cap sort of tilted. You got the mask on. You got the hoodie. You look a little like the Unabomber, dude. It's
And you're such a clean cut, nice, normal, you know, mild mannered guy.
Yeah. No, look, I'm, you know, my background's, you know, finance, and I was, you know, we were doing actually home construction. We were doing home construction on my house here in Virginia, and I was ripping out drywall in the basement. My wife's like, it's time to, you know, it's time to go. She kind of said, let's go, Brandon, right?
Like, yeah.
you know, and she's like, and I told her, I said, look, I don't have time to change. And then I literally was on a conference call on the way there. And, you know, you were listening to all the stuff. So, yeah, it's not the normal attire. But, look, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter what you look like. Parents matter, and your opinion and voice matter.
Well, yes. Absolutely. You're right. It doesn't matter, but you do have a following in Northern Virginia, and it is funny. Every time I see you in a suit and tie, it seems strange to me. So it is very funny because you do have this sort of iconic status, right? With that, as you said, that sort of the hat on Cricket and everything. And but I will tell you, you know, I do. I don't think I've had an opportunity to tell you, as a mom who is frustrated and who has dealt with this myself and had to go through tremendous shift in educating my kids. I homeschool one, and we were enrolled in a wonderful Catholic school in Alexandria. But I appreciate, I'm so grateful to parents like you who are fearless and stood up and, you know, got angry. I have to say that sometimes I get a little tired of the, oh, you know, everybody's working really hard. No, they should have been able to figure this out a long time ago. And I'm really grateful for your work and hope you continue to be a thorn in the side of authority figures.
Yeah, and look, parents will continue to show up and advocate for the needs of their children. And I am just one of thousands throughout Northern Virginia, throughout the Commonwealth, and throughout the U.S., right? And I think you're seeing the message resonated so well throughout the United States because it is so personal. And I really, really tried to be as bipartisan as I could be because this is such a bipartisan topic. This is, you know, transcends so many other, you know, very minute political issues that have been fought on for decades. You know, all parents, no matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, can care about the education of their children. And we're seeing that. And that's what crossed party lines and caused, you know, 25% more voters to come out this last year, which, you know, is saying.
Yep. And the energy needed to stay there and the efforts to recall members and then get on the ballot and win these elections. That's the next step here, and that's what 22 is all about. Brandon Michon, always great to talk with you, and it just brought such a big smile to my face to see you there in Richmond, because you were a part of this. You were a big part of this, and well done.
I appreciate it, and look, we have a lot of momentum going into 22. Let's capitalize it on it, and let's continue to raise the bar and elect people who can figure it out.
There you go. Thank you, Brandon. Let's go.
Thanks.
Now, from the WMAL WynnBET Studios, O'Connor and Company. 105.9
FM, WMAL. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day across the Fruited Plain, and we thought it would be a fine way to commemorate the life and legacy and enduring message of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. by speaking with his niece, Dr. Elveda King. And boy, now more than ever, we need to reiterate this because every year it seems, Dr. King, your uncle's voice, your uncle's legacy and message is hijacked for modern political purposes that don't seem to mesh with what I learned Martin Luther King stood for. But I'd love for you to reflect on that a little bit.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. And actually, I enjoy having the opportunity to share different quotes from my uncle, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., on this day that you don't see in all of the political spins. Now, one of his quotes, he said, and I am paraphrasing it, I'd have to have it right in front of me, but he said, if I knew the world was going to explode tomorrow, I would still plant my apple tree today. Yeah. So in other words, he was always concerned about sharing, giving, helping others. One of his favorite sermons was the Good Samaritan message out of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And he would ask the question, he said, it's not what will happen to the man on the side of the road if we don't stop. What will happen to our souls? So I enjoy sharing those messages that the preacher Martin Luther King shared. as much as you hear all of the political spin today.
Well, and especially, I know that you care so passionately about the issue of the unborn, and your father your uncle being a Christian minister and reverend and speaking, most of his most famous speeches came from the pulpit. When you look at the party and the political actors who talk about abortion in the same breath as civil rights and racial equality, it's got to be maddening for you.
Abortion is a civil wrong. Now, Uncle ML once said the Negro cannot win if he's willing to sacrifice the futures of his children for immediate personal comfort and safety. When you think about it, and me having had abortions in the 1970s before I had a change of heart and a Christ, Jesus Christ experience, Uncle ML said the Negro can't win if we're willing to sacrifice our babies. Now, there are reasons that people have abortions. Sometimes, oh, I want to finish college, or I can't afford to have a baby, or my relationship didn't work out. However, we have to think about the child in the womb as well. Uncle ML said injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Mm. Well, a woman really does have a right to choose what she does with her body, and the baby's not her body. So where's the lawyer for the baby? How can the dream survive if we murder our children?
Well said.
Your messages are so important, especially on that issue. But your uncle's messages on race relations in this country are so important, especially on this day. But it's sad to hear that the King family has requested no celebrations until voting rights legislation, which many reasonable, good people disagree on. They say no celebrations of this holiday until that legislation is passed. Could you tell us your thoughts on that?
Well, interestingly enough, my family will gather at Ebenezer Baptist Church today. Many members of my family will, in recognition, if not celebration, of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now, I will be out in the various communities. You know how bad the weather is in America right now.
Yeah.
And there are some people who are really not even able to get milk and bread and that kind of thing. So I am a chairman of the Center for the American Dream at the America First Policy Institute. And the American Dream being for everybody, I believe what my uncle said, he said that he had a dream deeply rooted in the American Dream. Mm. So I will be observing the American Dream and the birth of my uncle today. I'm going to go out. My ministry is working with other ministries. And we're going to go into communities, say, with the single mothers or the elderly or some parents who can't get out today. The schools are closed and all of that. And we're going to deliver food and prayers around the Atlanta community. So it's just a matter of mindset. Some of my family members, of course, pushing the issues of voter rights. But I believe that voting should be easy to vote and hard to cheat.
Yeah,
that's another theme that's coming out of America First Policy Institute with Dr. Ambassador Ken Blackwell. So it's just a matter of perspective. And my perspective, my uncle believed in faith, hope, and love. And he believed in the one blood, one human race. So I say that's the real critical race is the human race. Acts 17:26 says we're one blood. And that led him to say we must learn to live together as brothers. And I'll add his sisters or parents together as food. So it's a matter of perspective.
It sure is. Dr. Alveda King, it's always an honor to speak with you. And I didn't know that you were associated with Ken Blackwell's operations. But he's a good friend of the program. We love him, too.
Well, thank you. We're good friends, and he's a chair of Voter Integrity. I'm a chair of the American Dream for America First Policy Institute.
Well, that's great. And you're both doing great work. And anytime you need your voice heard, please let us know here on O'Connor & Company. We'd love to hear you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
It is 8. Julie Gundlach, we see this changing policies across the board here at the federal level as well as at the local level with regard to COVID-19 and the Omicron variant. And parents are still at their wit's end. And I know that you've now encountered this with regard to the quarantine policies for kids.
Yeah, my son, who is not fully vaccinated, he's only 11, and for for reasons between
yeah,
us.
You don't know yeah. anybody an explanation why your kid
is right. Well, he has received his first shot. Anyway, he was, you know, he came in contact with another kid sitting nearby that came down with it. And now because of the Alexandria Health Department's ridiculous rules on quarantining, he has to quarantine. And because he will probably never be fully vaccinated, you know, we may face this over and over again. And yeah. You know, the school, of course, is blameless in this. They are just they are bound by this Alexandria Health Department, which, you know, is similar to many other institutions in my city, which is, you know, sort of political about this stuff. They've yeah. made rules that are very strict.
Let me be clear here. If your son were fully vaccinated, although that's the definition of fully vaccinated is shifting every day, too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if he were, would there be different quarantine policies for him versus whether?
Yes, I believe so. And so,
no direct link between the vaccination status and whether you're spreading the virus,
right?
Or
it does nothing matters to the
and he has no symptoms.
None, not showing any symptoms. And so this is the problem too. I don't expect that this will change. And again, as most of the country is opening up and things are loosening up, you know, there's also a study out of South Africa showing that
you
know, Omicron is not as severe even to those unvaccinated.
Right.
The effects aren't as severe. So it's very frustrating. You know, I don't want him to have to deal with this and be out of school, but in certain areas of the country and certainly in certain pockets of Northern Virginia, parents are just going to have to deal with this for a lot longer. I see a lot of parents celebrating about Yunkin, but it's I don't think we're going to see an easing up of these rules in this area.
By the way, one other update on Anthony Fauci's testimony last week before the Senate. You remember this exchange with Senator Roger Marshall?
You are totally incorrect.
Senator well, we look forward to reviewing it.
Dr. Fauci has answered you. It is public information, and he's happy to give it to you if you would ask. Senator Moran.
What a moron, Jesus Christ, is what Fauci said there. This had to do with the senator asking him why he doesn't disclose all of his financial arrangements. Well, and technically he does make it public, but it's full of redactions.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that's a really, of course, a completely transparent, I'm going to release everything, but it's fully redacted. So it's
kinda
not
like
actually
his,
released at
kinda
all.
Kind of like all the money he sends to China. You know, right. It's like really hard to figure out.
Well, Senator Roger, what a moron Marshall has decided, okay, Anthony Fauci, you want this out there? We'll put it out there. And he put out the unredacted financial disclosures.
Good for him.
And according to the write-up at the Daily Mail, he has profited from the pandemic, during the pandemic. Of course, he makes $434,000 as the highest paid employee in the federal government. But new disclosure shows that he receives royalties over $100,000 a year from medical textbooks. As his brand increases, his book sales go up, and he makes more money.
Yep. It's dirty. It's really dirty.
There's
Who's the moron now?
There's more details here. He's going to make roughly $2.5 million more for the years 2020 through 24 if he stays on through the Biden's term. This, again, according to publicly available information regarding his salary. It shows that Fauci earned $3.6 million from 2010 to 2019. His wife, by the way, Christine Grady, earns $176,000, chief of the Department of Bioethics at the National Institute of Health. So there's a little bit of a double dip going on there in the Fauci.
You know, there's
family.
Some real low, there's some real low hanging fruit here, and getting this guy out of his position would really help Biden's approval ratings.
He's
right
everything
there.
That's wrong with the federal government and the bureaucracy.
Just get rid of him, and Biden would see a bounce. He definitely would.
He made $13,000 last year for attending 4 galas. 3 of them were virtually. So he
I like
sat
galas.
I go to galas. You want to pay me to go to a gala?
I'll go to a gala.
Especially if I can do it in my bedroom with a Zoom camera.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 8:52.
That's a wrap, Julie Gunlock. Let's do this again tomorrow. We'll talk about the Democrats' plan to do away with the filibuster in the Senate.
Sounds good.
Excellent. You know what else sounds? You know what else sounds good and fun?
What?
Chris Plant coming up next. Chris.
What the heck? Hey, kids. Here we are working on a holiday and everything. It's such dedication, isn't it? It's something. It's breathtaking.
What have you got to talk about?
You see the Washington Post today? They've got two front page stories. I'll give you one guess. Two front page stories on?
Oh.
January 6th.
January 6th.
Right. January 6th. January 6th. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. January, a lot of January 6th stuff going on. And, you know, the terror attack in Texas over there, you got to get to paragraph number 16 before they mention anything about Islam, Muslim, or terror. 16, I counted.
We may never know the motive.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.